All right, you lot, don't forget to give us a follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And while you're at it, give us a 5-star rating. Trust me, it really does help us out.
Hello and welcome all. How are we doing? Welcome back to the Last Lap Show podcast. It is a lovely Tuesday afternoon slash evening, whenever you're viewing this, maybe even Wednesday. We've just seen a Singapore Grand Prix of 2022. It was a bit of a slow burn of a Grand Prix, but it ended up being a pretty decent one. We'll have the highlights as well out from the live show. But today I'm joined by the lovely Hayden Gullis. How are we doing, bro?
I'm doing good. It's just a pleasure to be sat so closely with you. I'm just enjoying it.
If possible, I would have been sat closer. I'm not even going to lie.
We can always shuffle in.
We can always just share if you do want to do that. But yeah, your thoughts on the race? You enjoyed it?
Yeah, an enjoyable race. I think, like you said, it was a slow burner. I think a 7 out of 10 for me. I feel just the boringness maybe of like the early stage where nothing was going on, but because of the collisions and the safety cars, the unpredictability, and then of course the Leclerc-Perez battle, the end made up for it and made it a lot better. So yeah, 7 out of 10, I think.
Yeah, no, it was decent. We'll go into it in a lot more detail during the course of this pod. We've also been joined by two other guests as well. We've got Dirk and Cameron. How are you doing, boys?
Hello. Good, man. I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Tell the people what you guys do.
Oh, what do I do? I'm a rogue Twitch streamer that does F1 content, both gaming and real stuff.
Losers to me.
And I'm getting pole laps over Hayden Gullis as well on F1 game. But no, I'm a massive F1 nerd. I'm still quite relatively new to the game. I'm still learning quite a lot, so I'm never going to say that I'm a veteran. But to be here with some people that are just so knowledgeable, I'm learning a lot. But
so knowledgeable and mean.
And then there's Nearing, yeah.
When did you get into Formula One, by the way? Just a question.
So around 20, so I've been actually watching on and off from 2000, but I was that kid, right, that, you know, I didn't really have access to watch Formula One for a long time. So it was around 2017, 16, Daniel Ric entry year. That was about when, I mean, I watched obviously on and off races like in the past, but properly was around then. And since then, I've just been kind of getting more and more involved. And the last 3-4 years, I've just been hooked. So I'm playing catch up quite a lot, but I'm loving it apart from last year, but yeah.
We love that regardless. And Cameron, tell the people what you do.
Oh, mate. So I'm on Cameron F1 on YouTube. I am an accountant by trade, hence where you're going to hear me smashing out this cost cap chat in a minute.
Oh.
Short order, I'm sure. But yeah, Cameron F1 YouTube. I just like to talk about F1. I like to talk with people knowledgeable as yourselves, irrespective of our backgrounds, about all things F1, whether that's Sir Lewis, Max Verstappen, going back and forth. That's just me, mate. Brummy originally, you'll be able to hear
Brummy.
It.
Sorry, mate.
Behave.
Wouldn't have it.
Behave. I'm not having that at all. But yeah, born and bred in Birmingham, first 26 years of my life. My route into F1, oh, mate, I'm going to reveal my age here, aren't I?
It's all right.
Am I? A long while ago. the first season proper that I remember watching was 94, the year that Senna passed.
Wasn't even born.
So a while ago, mate, I've got a length of service and tenure. Still don't know that much, to be honest. Let's be frank.
No, you're an expert in my eyes, can't lie. 94, yeah, goodness gracious.
Behave yourselves. But yeah, that's me, mate, in a nutshell.
Well, we've got plenty to break down after the Singapore Grand Prix. We'll start, I guess, with the win for Sergio Perez. So it's still technically up in the air at the moment as we're recording this, given a safety car infringement, but solid drive from him, realistically.
Yeah, and a lot of us wrote him off. We like, we just thought
we all wrote him off.
You know,
you
predicted
you write him off
the most. P5. But yeah, I think a lot of us wrote him off. But yeah, solid drive, perfect. And I think, you know, he's a really good number two driver for the team. And he, when he was needed, like today, when Max Verstappen is slightly further down the field, he delivered, and he certainly did that. P1 at the end, you know, holding off Charles Leclerc at the end, and just didn't put a foot wrong the entire race. Mixed conditions, Singapore, can easily put it into the barrier, and he didn't.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. I think I probably speak for most people in Formula One when we say that he was one that was written off for a lot of people. He didn't look like he was going to perform during qualifying, but he's always a race merchant, and during the race, he's a race merchant.
that's the best thing to be possible. That's actually a good thing.
But no, he got the jump on the Ferrari straight away, and from the get-go, P1, and he managed the tyres very well. He, as Hayden said, multiple conditions, absolutely fine. He didn't look to put a single foot wrong. And then the last 10 laps of the race, his tyres were prime because, you know, he can just massage the tyres somehow. Flew away from then at the end of it. It
was tyre whisperer. He was just in control the entire time. Whisper, yeah. The entire time. But again, kind of another missed opportunity for Ferrari and Leclerc being on pole. Again, just can't convert it.
Yeah, I think they'd be happy with that because they are second and third. And, you know, if there's a penalty coming Perez's way, it's first and third. But yeah, again, Charles Leclerc on pole. You've said it about the launch, that there's a problem with the car's launch. Maybe that is the problem where they're losing it. But it just seems to be, you know, he's got 10 poles, 9 poles this season, 3 wins. It's not good enough when you're on pole all the time. And I know, I feel like Red Bull just got that race pace. They're much better in the race than the Ferrari. But yeah, you've got to be confirming a few more of those. So there'd be the driver, at least, Charles Leclerc, would be slightly disappointed. But the team would be happy.
Yeah, I mean, Ferrari are going to Ferrari, eh? I suppose, to be fair to them, they didn't make any material mistakes this race.
Because the drivers ignored their strategy calls of pitting, didn't they? Mate. We're going to pit for Inters, I think, before the dry stage.
As they should. We've said it before, right? Like, I mean, if the trust between you and the pit wall breaks and you're strategist, then you need to start asking questions of them, a la Carlos Sainz at Monaco. I'm not coming in. I'm not looking to do 2 stops. I'm coming in once. And when I come in, you're going to put dry tyres on my car. That's what Charles needs a little bit of. We spoke earlier, in an ideal world going forward for Ferrari, you want to kind of take the best portions of both of their drivers. Charles Leclerc's absolute pacing quality and Carlos Sainz Jr.'s nous and race craft and race awareness almost. But still, listen, I can't knock Charlie. He raced well, but for the start, I think he would have probably had it in the bag because he had the wheels underneath him. And no unforced errors to speak of. And we're going to get to loads of other different drivers, amongst whom there were a gazillion unforced errors.
Yeah, a gazillion. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mad one, actually. We might as well get onto that even now in terms of like some of the unforced errors. You know, we saw mistakes from Max, who was obviously starting further down the order anyway, after that, the issue in qualifying. And yeah, it was troublesome out there in terms of the conditions, but Lewis making...
Oh.
I don't want to do this to you.
I had to,
because I want your thoughts on it, you know, obviously in third place, putting the barrier and then a little bit of mistakes.
Just keep kicking him down whilst I
don't just list them out. He wasn't great, and for me, Lewis over the past couple of races hasn't been at his most brilliant best, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And again, we can all, listen, I support Lewis Hamilton. I'll go to war with Lewis Hamilton, right? He's my guy. But sometimes you've got to put on your objectivity cap, right? And gauge his performance as it wasn't a fantastic time for Sir Lewis. He made mistakes. He looked erratic. Like, I mean, the mistakes that he did make a lockup. I mean, flipping Nora, that's not Sir Lewis Hamilton. That's not him, right? Yeah, many regard him as the GOAT, and that's that sort of thing you wouldn't expect from a GOAT. But I would play devil's advocate for a second and defend Sir Lewis because he's not had a great time. The car's been bad. He hasn't had the wheels underneath him. He's had to look over his shoulder all the time to George. So he's not, and it's a different circumstance to what he's used to as versus over the last 8 or 9 years, even when he's had Bottas. And again, he did want to keep Bottas for the avoidance of doubt. He's had Bottas there just playing rear gunner, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's a very different circumstance. Different car in W13. He doesn't have the wheels underneath him. Very different spa in George Russell. George Russell, let's be frank, nobody's second driver. Ergo, you're going to get pressure in a completely different circumstance. So in that sense, I will excuse Sir Lewis from a mistake-laden performance. Yeah. It's still not good enough, mate.
I will say, though, that this season we're seeing probably Lewis pushing harder than he's had to in the past. Because in the past, he's had a car that, you know, he's been happy with. It was designed for him. And he's been so content. And now he's getting a car that's a bit different. He's not used to it. You know, he can't drive the same driving style. Now we're seeing him push a little bit more. And that's probably where the mistakes are coming from. So I can understand that he's going to make more mistakes than you usually see from him. But I think that's just the competitive nature of him trying to push, trying to get the most out of it. And unfortunately, today, it just did not work for him. Made mistakes in the wet, but, you know, he lost a lot of positions. But I think I'm not surprised that we're seeing that because he's pushing that car to as much of a limit as possible.
But I would just say to that, just to expand on your point a sec, I don't think it's that everybody makes mistakes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Subject matter experts, the best in the world, absolutely make mistakes. It's the type of mistake that Lewis is making, though, that concerns me, really. If he's the GOAT, then I would expect to see as many of those unforced error lockups, the crash with Alonso. That's very uncharacteristic, and it's happening more and more. And it concerns me as a Lewis Hamilton fan.
I was going to say, does it concern you moving forward, you know, into future seasons? Obviously, when, you know, I'm not saying this in like a washed way, because he's obviously still a brilliant driver. But with George as a teammate who's only going to grow and only going to get faster, does that concern you moving forward into next season?
Yes.
Simple answer.
I've said for a while now that he's me and him are the same age, right?
Yeah.
37, 38 years old. And there is a zenith in every F1 driver's career as far as age, right? F1 is a young man's game. Let's be frank.
Yeah, true. By telling Alonso that.
True, but yeah.
In 10 years when he's like 50.
He and Lewis, ironically, might be the exception that proved the rule. But what I would say about Lewis, if you compare, I don't know, if you compare 2014 Lewis to 2022 Lewis, you see the difference, right? You see the difference. And there's a stat that people keep banding around. At Lewis's age or older, there's only been about 6 or 7 drivers who have ever won a championship, and only about 4 or 5 within the last 50 years. Mansell was one, Prost was another one, Andretti being the other one in the 80s. It doesn't happen too often. F1 is a young man's game, and I just think this is, Father Time is undefeated, right? So in that sense, I am a tad concerned if I harbour hopes for Lewis winning the 8th in the end before he hangs up his Nomex.
No. Well, I guess that's an interesting question, actually. Do you think the 8th is on the cards for next season at all? Obviously, Mercedes need to improve quite drastically because the Ferrari and Red Bull are so far ahead.
The problem as well is this cost cap. Obviously, it's supposed to be there to make the teams be a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the teams that are further back now can't spend the money to catch up to the rest of the teams. So that's the big factor. Can Mercedes put their money in the right places to improve the car where it needs to be to get it closer to the Red Bull and the Ferrari? So that is the problem that they are looking at. I think, yeah, drivers are going to make mistakes. I think they're looked upon a bit more when you're in the midfield because obviously you've got a lot more going on. It's, you know, we've seen Lewis at the front a lot of the time. He's only had to really battle one driver for first or second. So that's going to come into a bit more. We saw it with Max Verstappen today. You know, Max Verstappen has been incredibly inconsistent. He's made 2 mistakes I can count this season. Hungary, where he did a spin and then he overtook Leclerc again the next lap.
He was just bored. He just wanted to do it.
And then today, the big lockup on the inside. And again, it's one of those things that from watching outside, you can tell it could come because there's a wet line there. You know, watching, oh, please don't do that. You're praying that they're going to make it through the corner. And unfortunately, they didn't. But Max is just in this amazing position right now where he can make a mistake and he can still wrap the title up in Japan. So for him, it's not too much of an issue, him making a mistake. But yeah, for Lewis, I wouldn't say I'm too concerned. There's a lot of people who are always like, oh yeah, Lewis is going to retire after this season. He's going to retire. For me personally, I think Lewis is still in it for the long haul. I think he has that drive to win more and more and more. Like to have the drive to go again and get 7 championships, that's incredible. But I feel like he's not someone who's going to be like, yeah, I get the 8th. I've taken it by 1. I'm happy with that. No, he wants to set another benchmark. He wants to go further.
Yeah.
Is it possible that it's going to be there? Well, I don't know. It might happen next week with the cost cap thing. But it all depends on car. Like it's always been in Formula 1. You have to be, you know, the best driver of the season, but also have the right car underneath you.
I don't even think that it's the fact that he's wanting another champion. I think he's just genuinely enjoying driving right now as well, because, you know, as Alonso even said, that he can only drive from the front to this guy, but no, he can drive in the midfield and he's happy there because he gets to drive other drivers. He said two weeks ago, when you're driving at the front, it can get a bit lonely up there because there's no one around, you just drive off. But now he's battling other people, he's enjoying himself, he gets to actually be talented and use his skills, which is great. But that 8th world title to secure him as one of the greatest time drivers of all time is still in the
remote. I don't see a world where he retires before he takes an 8th.
It'll be Alonso situation. You just keep on going to try and get that extra championship.
I don't see a world where that doesn't happen. Obviously a little bit of a tough day for him. Tough day for George as well. Tough day for Mercedes all round, really.
It's
always gonna be tough for a track like Singapore.
Hell of the weekend for like Mercedes as a team, I think, unfortunately, with the mistakes from Lewis's side and then George with the qualifying, then starting from the pit lane. Singapore, as you said earlier, it's Monaco with at nighttime. You know, it's very difficult to overtake around there.
Monaco at nighttime. Well,
it is. It's just very difficult.
Monaco does have a nighttime, by the way. It is the nighttime sometimes in Monaco.
We've never seen it.
Who knows?
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, the casinos open during the day only.
But yeah, and then they sort of used him as the guinea pig going onto the mediums too early. And he just dropped off so much time. And then from his side, the mistake with the Schumacher crash, it came up no further investigation, so nothing came from it. But he just kind of veered off to the right, to the outside, to get back onto that dry racing line. Schumacher isn't going to disappear. They come together, both get a puncture, and they're both out of the race.
Yeah, it's just one of those tough ones for me, like, because he had nothing to lose as well as far as the tyre strategy is concerned. But not the greatest day at the office for him.
Not the greatest day. And again, if we're going to big up George Russell, uncharacteristically so, right? What's the record? Every race that he's finishing the top five. Matt Silverstone, the DNF. He's nailed it. And again, I said at the start of the season that Lewis was going to clean his clock, right? And it hasn't quite happened. I will say this though. I expect the performance between the two to normalise in longer form between now and the end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if Lewis does turn it round. But again, what we've seen there isn't, it doesn't fill me with a lot of, with massive hope. Yeah. Uncharacteristic mistakes from Sir Lewis Hamilton. Goat. Bloody normal.
That was during the race, but we saw that he can perform. Like, what did he start today? P3, P4?
Lewis.
Yeah, P4. Was it P3? So the car's getting better. He can clearly still drive as long as he gets the right package.
Is it, if it comes, Dirk?
I think next season, if he gets a car he's happy with, same as Ricciardo.
But that's a very different thing from your initial assertion that the car is getting better. Is it not?
No. I'm saying now, it looks, from what I'm seeing, it looks like the car's getting better and he's getting more confident with it.
I think we'll have to see when we get to tracks, that, because I think Singapore was spoken of as their last chance to get a race win, because it's a circuit that's, same as they were very good in Zandvoort, it's very short, there's not a lot of straights, it's very technical, a lot of slow speed corners, and that's where they're going to gain. So we'll see over the rest of the season, but we're going to places like USA, it's quite a lot of straights, quite a lot of Mexico, fast corners. Yeah. Mexico is definitely
Luca's going to be chaos for them. Yeah. So to Hayden's point, this track, if anywhere, you were going to see W30 nail it, it was going to be here. And sadly, it didn't quite work out. So it's going to be a long road between.
That was the problem. Hundredths off. It was so close to that pole position. And then that's the thing. It just fell. And that's what we're both most frustrated with, is that it is the mistake that cost them what could have been a really good result once it got into the dry and they could really fire up those tyres.
So painful. Painful jumps. Painful. This track, again, to expand on Aidan's point, this flatters to deceive. Mm-hmm. It does. And I'm really worried about next season, because I keep hearing Toto saying, we're going to have patience with the zero pod concept. Really? How much patience are you going to have, Toto?
They said that they haven't confirmed.
Patience ad infinitum. Yeah, he's not sure. Are we going to be a bit decisive about it?
I was going to say, you probably need to be sure pretty soon.
When are you going to make the decision, Duck, if you're Toto Wolff?
Mate, I'm...
Take your time, mate. You know what I mean?
Be like this season where they did first test with side pods, second test rocks up with no side pods, so maybe it'll be just like that.
I'm thinking, right, like, if you haven't made the decision now, how are you already developing for next season? Like, what are you developing for then?
They've just designed the rest of the car, no side pods.
What's going on here?
It's probably the most fundamental area of the car that you need to have locked down as, like, this is what I'm going to do.
You've had 17, 18 races now of data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the porpoising and vertical oscillation stuff, that's kind of in the rear view. So it raised its head a little bit with the curbs and the bumpy surface at Singapore. But surely now you should have, okay, I'm not asking you to have designed the concept for next year, W14, but surely now you should know the direction broadly that you're looking to head in.
Listen, they probably already know. They're just probably bluffing. So they have a reputation of just playing mind games.
I hope you're right, mate.
If we're not, then screwed. But they probably know exactly where they're going to go concept wise, and they probably are already developing next season's car. So I'm hoping that next season they figure something out, and I'm hoping we get a three car championship battle. That's what we wanted this season.
I was just about to say the one that we were promised this season, like the get back. Where is it? Bloody Nora.
Didn't work.
It was a one car title race out of six. Like, wasn't even, Sergio's not even involved either. We're
Red Bull's
done.
Max is clear at this point.
gone clear.
Even with a difficult weekend as well. Obviously starting eighth on the grid. He was so annoyed on team radio, they didn't actually tell him what the problem was until he got out of the car. Until they could calm him down.
I listened to the onboard on F1 TV and literally just said, yep, you need to go on the pits, there's a problem. And he absolutely blew up and literally went into the pits, cut the engine, just jumped back out. He left the circuit.
Really?
Yeah, he went back to the hotel.
Center at Monaco. Yeah.
Straight back home. In a bit, lads, on a plane.
And you know what? I'll get criticism for saying this because a lot of people will talk about the way in which the media treat Lewis's blow-ups as versus Yuki's blow-ups as versus Max's blow-ups.
The content.
The content. But the contrast is stark.
Yeah.
I empathise with Max. I think he's just a straight shooter, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's a straight shooter and he's going to say it, even with expletives and all, if he's upset and pissed off, then you're going to know about it. Mm. That's just who Max Verstappen is.
It's a very, and I'm gonna say this and I'm going to regret it straight away, but it's a very Dutch thing. They're straight shooters. They don't mince words. They just
are a monolith, Dirk. Is that what you're...
No.
Is that why you
I'm not. Don't put words in that. All I'm saying from what I've heard from other Dutch people. So this isn't directly from me to cover myself.
Allegedly,
it's just the way that
I don't know if I can agree with that, because if my girlfriend's angry with me, she doesn't tell me what's up. You know, it takes me a while to get it out of there. And I think that we all have that situation with girlfriends.
I will defend you though. I've heard similar that the Dutch, the culture of the Netherlands is quite matter of fact.
Yeah.
And so you mate, this is your show. I can't speak to that. You'll know what it'll be if you're telling me that that's not the truth.
But honestly, for me, it has taken me a good while to adapt to that, because I'm quite an empath and I'm more feelings than logical. So for me, when I see him just absolutely go off, and I'm like, why are you saying that? Like, think about what you're doing here.
The thing is as well though, like like I can relate to it a little bit when we're doing our racing. If something goes against me, like online, I'm in that moment. I'm frustrating, and you say things, and that's just driving in a simulator at home.
Yeah.
You know, you're not driving at 200 mile an hour. Realistically, you're not feeling all the bumps, sweating, and all that. Yeah. I mean, I'm still sweating, to be fair, and it is a bit of a workout. But I'm not feeling the bumps. The adrenaline's maybe not as rushing as much as someone in a Formula One car, like actually doing the real thing. So
definitely.
You know. We say it all the time. You put a microphone on a football player.
They
will not say nice things. They won't just go, why did you do that, sir? You know, they're not going to be like that. They're going to be effing and blinding at each other. And this is just what happens.
It has been said frustration multiple times, like by the F1 drivers, you know, we say things in the heat of the moment. Even Lewis saying when he heard like, oh, you hear what Alonso, I don't care. He said it in the heat of the moment. We all say stupid stuff.
Because they all say stupid stuff like that. So.
But to your point, it's the clickbait, mate. It's what's going to get the clicks. What's going to sell the newspaper?
But then, surely, if that was the case, then you would make a meal of both of them, right? You would make a meal of Lewis. Yeah. Lewis is being petulant, and then the same thing that sells for Lewis would sell for Max. Or maybe that's the point. Maybe that angle doesn't sell for
Max.
I would say though, lastly, on the Max Verstappen expletive stuff, and I know you had my guy Blake break F1. Loved that guy to death.
Mm-hmm.
How these guys work directly with Max Verstappen. If that, listen, I don't care how much 50 million you're getting paid in your contract. I don't care how many championships you've won.
Yeah.
If I'm your performance engineer or your race engineer on the other side of those messages, oh, F it. How, mate, don't even come back to me. It's on.
Do you want the help or not?
It's on. Like, I'm not going to, the guy came back and he was like, listen, we'll talk about it afterwards. Very nice and simple. Are you having a giraffe?
They can't.
No chance.
They have to control them, don't they? You can't lose your
death before dishonor, fellas.
No,
I would never have that. I think it's testament to those engineers and the level of patience they have with Max.
Yes, yeah.
And testament to just how important Max is in that team, that nothing's ever kicked, or at least in front of the cameras, that those guys haven't said, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
I was going to say, unless you're a Brad at Aston Martin who got just a random promotion and never came back to the radio. Remember Brad?
Yeah. Because he got the okay and the pit confirmed, but I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
That's it. That's the end of your radio days, mate.
Well, whoever put the fuel in wrong, by the way, for qualifying, not seeing them ever.
They ain't coming back.
It's probably the same person who did the accounting numbers, to be honest.
God. Well, we might as well move on to that. It's a lovely segue. Thank you very much, Hayden. Yeah, the big news, obviously, this week is a potential breach of the F1 cost cap. One major and one minor breaking from two separate teams. The rumours are that it's Aston Martin and Red Bull, of course, which has been widely documented, that have broken the sort of overall budget. If you don't know, there's like a £150 million budget or like spending budget that everyone has to stay within. And yeah, apparently Red Bull have broken it. Now, the repercussions of that could be crazy because obviously they won the Drivers' Championship last season. It's a very difficult topic because Max was not involved, but what does that mean for his championship realistically last year?
It's a very difficult situation, but there do need to be harsh consequences, because this is one thing that the reason it was brought in was to try and get the smaller teams back into the fight, because Mercedes, Ferrari were spending millions, like hundreds of millions, 700 million, and then you've got Williams who can only spend 100 million or something like that. Now, Williams have managed to get that budget higher because there's a cost cap. So they know, okay, we're finding sponsors, we're trying to get the budget up because we know everybody's on a level playing field. If there is a team that goes, actually, you know what, we're just going to spend a bit more, then that is, in alternatively, cheating, you know, because we've heard it from Toto Wolff. He said that they have got ideas on how to fix this Mercedes car and make it quicker, but they haven't got any money in the cost cap budget to be able to develop those parts, produce them, and get them on the car so that they can be quicker. So therefore, you are gaining an advantage. So for the FIA, if they do come out of it, you know, I hope that they, if it is true that they do something about it, don't do a Ferrari thing with the engines where they just said, oh yeah, we've had a conversation, but we're not going to disclose any information on that. And then next year they rock up with an engine that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or just give a fine, because there'd be the top teams like Ferrari and Mercedes would be like, okay, we've got loads of money in the bank. We can just happily take that hit and then spend more in the season and get that advantage. But obviously the Constructors' Championship points, that's one of them. You can get Constructors' Championship points taken away. You can be disqualified from the whole season as well. And I think it has repercussions for both 2021 and 2022. Obviously the main thing was in 2021, but the progress also carries over. You could have put more money into the testing for like this year's car and the development of this year's car. So yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be looked at. And does the driver get punished as well? Obviously, I'm coming from more of a British bias side. Like, I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan. I support the British drivers. So maybe, you know, my point's going to be more leaning that way. But at the same time, Max is in that position because of a car that potentially has had more money spent on it. So it does need to be looked at, whether it needs to be penalised or not. Mm-hmm. That's not my decision, but it does need to be looked into.
I think that's the massive thing as well. It's not just this season. It's kind of... Well, sorry, it's not just last season. It's the repercussions that it's then had on this season as well, in terms of like development and spending and things like that. You know, what sort of things could they have overspent on that will have, you know,
mate, the
will
lot.
Give them an advantage?
Absolutely, yeah. Everything, right? Anything and everything. If they've overspent, listen, the budget cap for last year, $145 million USD, right? Mm. If they've spent £1 additional, then that's the rules are rules. You're either within it or you're exceeding it. So they need to get punished. And listen, I took a cheeky screenshot to Hayden's pretty much nailed the punishments that can happen. Minor overspends, deduction of drivers and constructors championship points, suspension from, and again, any, look at me using the bloody, the regulations written by a five-year-old terminology, suspension from one or more stages of the competition, limitation on ability to conduct aerodynamic or other testing, reduction of their cost cap. The only, for material, major overspends, the only addition to that list is the exclusion from the championship. And I think Sir Lewis Hamilton fans around the world, that's exactly what they'll be looking for from Max Verstappen. Again, similar to Aiden, I'm not the cost cap arbitration panel or whatever, or adjudication panel. I'm not on there. So I don't know what the answer is, but something needs to be done to set a precedent. And also, again, to expand on Hayden's point, is the fact that there is a durable competitive advantage to be gained from this one. Mm-hmm. if you take PEDs as an example in any other sport, if you take performance enhancing drugs today for 6 months and then never take any again, for the rest of your life, you will have an advantage that's a function of that 6 month period, right? And this is exactly what we're dealing with Red Bull. They're going to be able to roll forward this advantage if, again, allegedly, to Niren's point, if they have overspent, they'll be able to roll forward this advantage into next year and the year after that and the years after that. You can't unwind that. And so in my humble opinion, it needs to be a strong punishment, a really, really strong one, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with both your points. You know, I've said before that, you know, the rules are rules, and if you've got the regulations there, they should be adhered to. But there is that discrepancy of in terms of the limitations. I think me and Niren talked about it earlier, where we were discussing the fact that there is, in fact, I'm happy with you actually, there's ambiguity in terms of what the repercussions are of breaking them, because it's such a new regulation. There isn't a clear cut answer of if you do this, this is going to be the punishment. And that's the problem, because now everyone's going, if they have broken them, what's going to happen? Because last season, if they had, they will have gained an advantage, which would have helped them win the driver's championship, which means the driver has benefited from the design, but he's not at fault for their design. Mm-hmm. But if he gets a run around, is it that, or are they going to get constructors deducted points? It's very
gray.
It's a very gray area.
This is the issue, because it's not like black and white. This is what they did with the extra money as well.
Exactly.
So you can't even necessarily dictate, oh yeah, Max Verstappen only won the championship because of X part that they made with the extra money.
Yeah.
They might not have even spent it on that.
But in that,
just been on biscuits, you know.
Consume a lot of biscuits. But in that sense, guys, I don't think it matters, right? If it's money spent on anything to do with F1 technological development, then that's a breach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an overspend, even if it was jammy dodgers or whatever. Like, it is. It is. And rules are rules are rules.
Yeah.
And they need to be followed. And if they're not followed, then the rules need to, somewhere in the sporting code of conduct or the regs, it needs to say materiality is this. Anything over 10 million.
Yeah.
And if you breach, then this is your... Why is there like 6 different options that I've just put out?
I don't know. And it's not clear as well. But
frustrating.
One thing that doesn't help is, again, because it's such a new regulation, is there's no historical data to use as a reference point. And, you know, as we've had, Ferrari that got the PU limitation for their regulation breach. We've had McLaren who got points deducted. I think disqualified constructors, wasn't they?
Yep.
For their stealing of designs from another team. Then, you know, Jensen Button, Takuma Sato, when they had their issues in 2005, they got points deducted. So there's no reference point for us to be like, oh, okay, they've done this. Right, great. We know this is going to happen. And that is fundamentally the problem. And it's not even just that. It's a common theme in F1 as well.
Don't catch this, though. I'll give you another hypothetical. You're right, but why are other sports... Listen, if you score a goal and you're offside...
I know where you're going with this, and I'm ready for it.
If you score a goal and you're offside, there's no ambiguity. Mm. And again, racing is a different beast, right? There's always going to be an element of ambiguity, especially with the policing of it. But why can't we just look in the rule at Chapter 2, Appendix 4, and say, if you spend this much over the budget...
Yeah.
This is your penalty.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a problem in F1 where there is, one, the entertainment side of it, where you're trying to design the sport to be a spectacle. And then there's two, the motorsport regulation side of this. And something I said earlier, where sport competitive sports in nature should be highly regulated and should ignore the spectacle element of it. If that happens, you don't have this issue of ambiguity. You don't, you know, when you create regulations, you have clear-cut regulations with set parameters that of if this happens, this is the reprimand. But in F1, we have new regulations that are constantly coming in to try and keep the sport hyped up, and then they have these gray areas because they've oversighted them. And then when these issues happen, for example, Abu Dhabi 2021, you have ambiguity where you have ambiguity in the rules and they're not followed clearly. And it's down to interpretation, which is a massive issue.
Let me just say this finally on this, because I don't want to clog up your agenda.
Don't worry.
Why? This is one of the biggest, richest sports in the world. Yes or no?
yeah, you need a lot of money to get in.
$5 million. The rights a couple of years ago in North America sold for $5 million. Now they're $75 million. The sport is growing. This is one of the greatest sports. This is why we're all here, right? Because we love the sport. So why then are the regulators, the regulations, it feels like they're Eminem in 8 Mile. Freestyling, lads.
Mate,
why?
I can't argue. If we're
banger racing, cool. Yeah. You're gonna make some mistake. Freestyle that one because it's banger racing. Yeah. There is far too much money in this sport now to have these rules that aren't the rules and the implementation of that are not even nearly commensurate to how big the sport has become.
No, I agree with you, mate.
WTF?
I don't know. I don't know. What do you boys reckon?
The prosecution rests. No further questions.
I do agree. In terms of like the way you seem to have these rules almost made up on the fly. I mean, we talked about it with the red flag at Monza and how that situation was such a grey area in terms of sporting spectacle or entertainment spectacle because there just wasn't a clear direction. You know, the FIA are getting to this situation and going, oh yeah, we should have thought about something for something to deal with this. Well, let's give ourselves 5 minutes and try and work it out. Like you said, there should just be a clear, if you go a million over, this is what happens. If you go 5 million over, this is what happens. Again, you will still get that pushing and edging of each team being like, well, we could afford a mil, we'll do that, whatever. Yeah. You know, we could afford to lose 20 points in the championship, maybe, because and just, you know, go over by a million. That's the problem we're going to have. And the reason why we can't have a fining system for this is because they're already willing to spend more money. Yeah. They've just broken the cost cap. That's the whole point. They'll give more money away. That's absolutely fine. They're calm to do that.
And Niren, why would you not?
Yeah.
In defense of Christian Horner, if you have a look at that list, well, they're going to punish me with one of these potentially. Yeah. I don't know the fine. Why would you not push the envelope? You're almost incentivized to.
It was like last season with the on-track stuff. And in all fairness, it all started, in all fairness, absolutely, from Lewis crashing with Max. I think the penalty wasn't harsh enough, in all fairness, on Lewis Hamilton because he did take out a competitor.
Silverstone.
And because of that, Max was like, okay, all right, clearly they're not going to penalise as much. I can push it. And we saw it race on race. It got pushed further and further until Saudi Arabia, where we finally had, oh, okay, I might get a penalty a little bit too far.
Yeah, this is so I won't go now.
And that is the problem, that they will just keep on pushing that limit as much as they can until they can do it. So, yeah, I mean, for me personally, I do think that both sides should be penalised from it because Red Bull, in all fairness, they didn't care about the constructors last year. All they wanted to do was to break Lewis Hamilton from winning that eighth, and they wanted to get Max Verstappen the championship.
Yeah.
So they put all their eggs. If they get 0 points in the constructors last year, they'd be like, so what? We didn't win it anyway. But the one thing that says that maybe Max might keep it is quite fitting. Singapore, 2008, I think it was, Alonso crashgate. He won the race, but because Alonso didn't know about it, he kept in, even though the cheating that they did got them the race win. So therefore, it was a cheat win.
Yeah.
So they should have been taken away.
Yeah.
Play on.
I don't think, I think with how much controversy that the last season has brought, I don't think they want to rifle that feather.
But that's the thing, it's already under a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
So then sort of push it away again and just be like, okay, we're just going to kind of ignore this as much as possible. Yeah. It throws the sport completely out the window.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing as well. Does this does this make the sport look
bad? It really does. And it's not, again, it's not even just this situation. They've had little bugbearers that they've been slowly working on, which has been great to see, you know, they're fixing issues.
Mm.
But the fact that these issues keep popping up into different areas, that's like, oh yeah, now this is ambiguous and we need to fix that. And it's all happening. But I was going to say, what if we get to next week, end of next week, and there's no budget cuts that's actually been broken in the first place? Because Christian Horner has been very defensive in terms of you guys are talking about all this, but you have no idea what's going on. So he does. But I kind of have to say I agree with him where there is a lot of chatter, but there's no real tangible facts coming from anywhere. It's just rumors, and they've just been thrown under the bus. That's the mine as well, but they're not obviously they're not surrounded by controversy.
Yeah,
but they're meant to have been in the major portion of the budget breach. So
yeah, but that's the thing. Rumors when they're talked about this strongly, they come from somewhere. Like, there has to be something from it. It's like the whole Oscar Piastri's going to McLaren. You know, it's one of those
things. We knew about it the day before. Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of stuff where, you know, there's a lot. It's a very tight-knit paddock. Everyone knows each other. They're going to be on their lunch breaks. I've seen it when I went to testing in Bahrain. I saw someone from AlphaTauri just having lunch with someone from Aston Martin, because they're all friends with each other. They all know each other.
So
there could be someone who's doing the numbers and just be like, yeah, things aren't looking good over on our side.
It's not looking good.
But it could be also Chinese whispers. It could just be like something just like, they're not looking good. We're quite close to the limit. And then that's gone down further down the line. Someone's just like, yeah, they're 10 million over the budget. So we could come to it next week where nothing has happened, but those rumours do come from somewhere.
Yeah, they do tend to. And even we spoke about how much it positively affects Red Bull, and this will be the final thing we talk about, but like, it's also negatively impacted other people. Like Mercedes, you know, Toto Wolff came out and said that he's actually had to lay off people.
Yeah, he's
because
not
of
happy.
Yeah, exactly. So Mercedes have actually had to bring themselves down to a level where they can get within the budget, and Red Bull are
I want to point out that the cost cap hasn't worked like we thought it was going to, because we've now got two teams who are quite far away from everybody else. Mercedes in F1.5 and then the rest in F2, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big gap.
Yeah.
So like, how do we fix this going forward to make the cost cap work? For me, I feel like maybe allowing there being a cost cap that's set for different standards of teams. So if you're at the back, you get to spend a little bit more. Obviously, we already have that with the wind tunnel hours.
Never fly, mate.
But if you're at the back, you get a little bit more spending. So Williams, therefore, they're at last. They get a little bit more to sort of push themselves a little bit further up the field. Obviously, we're not speaking of you can spend 200 more million than the team that's first, because you're just going to leapfrog them and it's going to be chopping and changing. But just to try and make it a little bit closer. And then once all the teams are close, okay, cost cap now. Because as you said, you know, you gained 6 months ago, you're going to have it for the rest of your life. And it is true.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, mate. It's a really sad state of affairs, you know. And just as an accountant, if I put my accounting cap on a second, to speak to the whole accounting circumstance. Accounting, if you want to make it like that, can be a very dark art. You can categorize anything any which way, right? CapEx, OpEx, like... There's loads of different, I know I'm talking, you know what's going on.
You know what it is? Yeah. This is actually such an easy thing to get away with, because an accountant could just say the maddest stuff to me and I'll be like, yeah. You know, you know what you're doing.
I'll give you a good example, right? This is, the miscategorization thing is important, because you can say, as an example,
I spent money here.
Bang. So Hayden's working for us and he's working on the powertrain. But in the accounts, I'm going to say that Hayden's been seconded to HR and has nothing. His hands do not touch anything to do with F1 or our car. What forensic accountant can go in and disprove that? Yeah. It's nigh on impossible. And again, this speaks to the rules and the regs, right? Like, how do you enforce that? Like, it's just really, really tough. And then to the accounting thing, if I give you another example, OPEX and CAPEX, your P&L, the thing that they'll be reviewing at the CCA, whatever, the cost cap adjudication board in the week, they'll be looking at the P&L, right? That's the money that you've earned and the money that you spent in basic terms. There's a balance sheet over here where your assets sit. And accountants, I should even tell these talk about this because it is very dark.
We want more details.
There is a process that called capitalizing, and you're only meant to be that. You should have a capitalization policy. Chunky money, if it's like a big computer or like a piece of tech, you might be able to capitalize it. So when you capitalize it, you basically take it off the P&L that the auditors and the forensic accountants will be reviewing, and it goes onto your balance sheet and it kind of drip feeds back acquired. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've done
shifting money from your P&L. It makes it look like that you spent less, kind of. It's a bit more techie than this, but it makes it look like you spent less than you have. The policies around CapEx in, mate, anything, like, it could, the company by company is going to be different. Again, massive gray area. So it's just, policing this stuff is just like, alchemy. How do you do? I just don't know how they're going to do it.
There's a CFO watching this somewhere, probably making notes, thinking, you know what? Why didn't we think?
Hang on, the guy at Williams is like, hold on a second.
You're going to be knocking your door, mate, thinking, honey, we need you to our team.
There's not a CFO in the land that won't know about what I've. They'll all be leveraging it. Mm-hmm. And Red Bull, apparently, similar situation. I'm convinced, but proving that they haven't been doing that is going to be
$5 million is quite a lot though. So what sort of things like dark arts could they even do to try and, like, you know,
in a company that's probably shifting around hundreds of millions?
Yeah, true.
That's a brilliant example with Hayden. Hayden doesn't touch this.
Yeah.
Hayden doesn't touch the car.
Yeah.
He seconded out to HR or fine or wherever, right?
This is the equivalent for all footballers of, all right, Chris, you're gonna be playing as a Steven today, mate. You're not on the books. It's the exact same situation.
Kind of.
It's you're putting in a player that is not registered, but you're using someone else.
But that's disprovable though. Like the Hayden thing is perfect.
I've dumbed it down massively.
You've never come to our factory.
Yeah.
Prove to me that Hayden has been doing work on the car and not been in Hayden.
This is where
they come out
and be like, Hayden was our spy that we sent in.
Shit.
Just going through the CCTV. He's just like, he's there.
I like the aspect on that, because it's not, but I'm very much like technical, trying to understand structure, but I've never looked at it from an accounting point of view and how you can do that. So that's actually quite insightful on how it can be done, because a lot of people won't think of it that way.
I think a lot of people will just go, yeah, they just spent too much on the car.
Yeah.
And just they just slapped a front wing on. Yeah, and it was just too expensive.
I don't think I'm 100% certain. When you look at the accounts, Red Bull's accounts, the cost cap is $145 USD. Their expense line isn't going to say $155 USD.
Yeah.
It will be a categorization issue. Have you genuinely, this expense that you're saying isn't about the car and doesn't pertain to anything on Red Bull Racing F1 technology, is it really? Or have, like, genuinely, substantively, has this expense been pointed at improving the car? Prove it, Christian will say.
Mm.
Prove it. We've had our accounts signed off.
Yeah.
You know what I do find mental? One of the other stories of this week, we had the whole cost cap situation and, you know, all of this jazz. The FIA are instead focusing on fining Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton for having a nose piercing. What do we think?
So, do you understand why he got fined for it?
No.
So, when you do your scrutineering form, you have to declare that your driver adheres to the regulations that are being met. But apparently, and the team knew this, that for medical reasons, I don't know why, Lewis Hamilton had to leave his nose stuff in. That's why he had it in. But the team didn't put that on the scrutineering form. And they submitted that. And because it was misaligned with what was actually happening, he got fined for it.
That honestly might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in Formula One.
Paperwork was not done correctly.
There was one, I can't remember what it was, but there was one this weekend as well. It was €200. For an F1 team, €200, nothing.
Do you know what I always go, where does this money go? What happens?
Dinners, it's just their dinner. You know?
What, the FIA?
Yeah,
dinners?
They're like, you know what, we're a little bit down on dinner this weekend. Who should we find? Could you give us 200 for what? We'll find a reason, don't worry about it.
You're genuinely baffled, because he's like, you see, like, you know, Seb Vettel getting fined, what was it, 50,000? I can't remember how much. For touching the rear wing.
That was Verstappen.
Verstappen for touching the rear wing. Like, I'm thinking, where's that money going then? Like, what happened to, what's, for me, it's like, yeah, we've been fine, but cool. Where is it? What's happened?
Priorities, lads.
It's just
of course.
Disappeared.
I don't understand the priorities. And obviously, like, the FIA have had their stance on it, and Lewis has been sort of fighting against it all year. He says that it's like the FIA have told him it's to do with, like, heat conducting and, you know, whatever. Yet they're wearing, like, seatbelts and all sorts of other
and wedding things. Rings.
Yeah, exactly. So is he being targeted by the FIA? Is sort of being made to be sort of like, yeah, you went against us earlier in the year. We're coming down.
You know, Niren, initially, that was my response. Doubt it. Rules are rules are rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you break the rules, then you deserve to be met with exactly what we just said with Red Bull and the cost cap. If you break the rules, then, like, you deserve the punishment. That needs to be what F1's about going forward.
Yeah.
However, in retrospect, really? Piercings, lads. Piercings. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Piercings. Are you having a giraffe?
Like what one of the drivers said, are they going to check everywhere for piercings?
That's what we said, right? You know, jokingly, you don't, listen, I've got piercings in places that I don't even know if you want to see. That's what he said. He was joking ultimately.
Wasn't it about like the boxer situation where he was like, I'm going to wear my...
The lot of them were taking the piss. But it's true. Like, what are we... Listen, when this kicked off again at Monaco, that was the same weekend around when, do you remember Verstappen and Perez came out the pits and there was a massive question as to whether like the wheel, I think.
Across the line. Yeah.
You can't even get this stuff right, lads. That means to me that you don't have bandwidth then to talk about piercings. Yeah. Piercings is so far down the list of your things
to
do.
Bigger problems. Yeah. Yeah.
How we don't have sensors. Like, if you talk to Blake, Blake was like, that's just a simple little piece of coding to deduce whether Max's whole tyre or his partial tyre crossed the line. And again, the rules and regs are written by 5-year-olds. So surely we've just covered like 3 or 4 different things that kind of, you've got bigger fires to fight, lads, than getting worried about Lewis's bloody nose piercing. Like, really?
I agree,
like,
with you, mate. Honestly, it's one of those things I'm looking at. I'm like, why does that? I understand the safety element of it and you have to adhere to.
What if someone wants to pull you out by the nose and they accidentally rip the nose ring?
Well, but then, but have you ever spoken to stewards about the actual risk of this?
I'd love to, but
You know that Grosjean, I bought into it. Yeah, it's a safety hazard. If they're trying to extract him, then the metals hit. Listen, when Grosjean jumped out the car, you know the only piece of his hand that wasn't burned was the bit that had his ring on. So what are we doing, fellas? This is just common sense.
Yeah, man, actually, you know what I mean? Wait, if we allow wedding rings, why are we not allowed?
What are we doing? And surely, if you want to address it properly, it's just a simple disclaimer. All right then, Lewis, cool. You want to wear whatever you want to wear. It's not like he's coming into the car like Mr. T, yeah?
Yeah.
He's just got like a simple nose stud.
You know what I mean?
He's got a simple nose stud. If it is a safety concern, FIA, put the disclaimer in front of Lewis and let him sign it, so that he can't sue you. But that's not even going to happen. Like
the liability element.
Bigger fires, chaps. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
FFS.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I can understand from both point of views. But I understand. I get the safety element, and you want to set a precedent. But yeah, there's some times where I'm like, yeah, but can we sort out the bigger issues first? But
Do you remember earlier on in the season, you'll know this, Hayden. Do you remember when they couldn't even get the tech probe back in place after somebody had dislodged it? Mm-hmm. I want to say it was around Bahrain, potentially. I don't know. It doesn't matter anyway. How about we sort that out? Danny Rick crashes at Monza and the stewards are sitting there with hands akimbo like this. What do we do, chaps? How about you move the car, lads? Bigger fires to fight, fellas, than those piercings for me.
No, 1,000%. We've got Japan next up on the calendar. Just finally, what are our early predictions, I guess, for how things are going to go in Suzuka?
We're all going to be tired.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Very early one. Mm. I'm really looking forward to going back because I think that's, again, the first time we've been back for
since 2019.
Yeah, really, really excited to go back there. Love it as a circuit. Great to watch on boards as well. As for what we're going to get, I think it's going to be a Red Bull. I think it's going to suit the car. So I think we're going to see Red Bull, unless they can't take part in it because they've been slammed during the week. Because it's literally in between. It's going to be between here and now. We'll find out what happens.
Yeah. What about you guys?
I can't disagree with what Hayden said, sadly. As much as I want to and talk about Mercedes are going to come back and Sir Lewis is going to get his first, in all probability, that's going to be another track around which Red Bull and Max Verstappen excel, right? Power track, and that car's ridiculous. RB8, it like Max will probably come back in there. And now he's got a bloody bee in his body and he's angry and aggrieved, pissed off Max Verstappen. He's going to have a score to settle. Like, woe betide the rest of the field, eh? He's going to smash him potentially. Yeah.
No, I agree with you a lot as well, too. I think Max is probably just looking to get this wrapped up so he can relax for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. If he can do it in Japan, he's going to go for it. But they need to make sure they don't have another howler.
I'll tell you what they could do, actually. If he wraps it up before the end of the season, to avoid having to pay his wage till the end and don't go over the cost cap again.
Just slap the freeze in the car.
No.
Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, Yuki Tsunoda.
They'll know when he gets out and he's like this tall.
Danny Kvyat, bring him back again.
Pay him less wages and get below the cost cap.
I tell you what's funny as well. You heard Helmut Marko midweek saying that it actually suits Red Bull's marketing needs to if Max wins the championship at Suzuka, being that they still have this pseudo partnership with Honda, they can go and do the bloody sexy livery and the white, that brilliant white Red Bull car. It kind of works better, so it might have worked
out. Very good for marketing.
It was all a plan.
The lock might have been a blessing.
You could just go down the escape route, mate. That'd be appreciated.
That's a fair point, yeah. They are. Sometimes I forget Red Bull are marketing gurus in their fields. Maybe they do it for the show, but nah.
That's a mate, you're spot on.
Nah.
That's exactly.
No, I said it as a meme.
Was it all a conspiracy?
Yeah. But they are a marketing. I had this argument in the week, right? I was very annoyed with Toto Wolff and saying that the same conversation we had earlier, right? That rules of engagement, I would prefer if he was more fringe, a bit, got his elbows out more, right? And became Christian Horner, fought at every juncture for every nook and cranny, every tenth. Mm-hmm. And I argued that I would like to see that from Toto. And the person I was talking to said, well, sadly, Mercedes aren't a marketing company. They don't just sell drinks.
Company. They are. And you see
they
that.
You
say that from the drivers as well, to be honest.
They're a corporation, right? So they can't roll up their sleeves and roll around in the mud with Christian Horner and the likes of, because it doesn't suit their corporate brand.
Well, Red Bull's brand is quite literally being extreme in everything that they do.
And they do that.
They really do. They do.
Well,
you know what? I want to bring this up in the podcast because it's a very interesting question that Cameron came up with. Who would you rather work for, Christian Horner or Toto Wolff? Go on ahead and you start.
Well, as I said earlier, I think, Toto Wolff is the man I think I'd rather work under. But you know that Christian Horner is going to back you till the end. No matter what you do, you know, you could go and, you know, poo on someone's desk and he's going to be like, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, in that moment, that's what I would have done as well.
Go on.
Flipping heck.
Personally, I like to work for Lando, not in Lando.
Lando, Zach Brown. I think I would probably say, I'd say Mattia Binotto, so I could slap him and just be like, get to grip
yourself. You've got the same sort of hair.
We haven't got the trim. We've got matching trim
glasses on you.
Yeah, exactly. next week, I'm bringing those in. I'll come fancy dress. We can bond over that and everything. I think I would probably go for Toto Wolff in terms of like a working relationship, I think. But like you said, like if I'm a driver, I think I would actually rather be with Christian Horner because I know that whatever I do out on the track,
he's going to back you up.
I could be involved in 7 different incidents in a Grand Prix. I'm blessed in the media. It's going to be calm because he's going to, he will back me.
He's a shield.
He's a shield. He'll take the flak. You know, he'll, if anything, he'll distract the media with whatever random shit that he says in his interview, and then they'll go on to him instead. So,
meanwhile, over at Mercedes, the silver arrows, but Toto Wolff saying, "Yeah, we'll abide by the whatever the in Monza." I'm talking about specifically when Verstappen damn near parked on Sir Lewis's head, and again, that was the race after Silverstone. That was the race after Silverstone, right? When Christian was like, I have a driver in the hospital and Lewis is running around here celebrating hot, like fringe, insightful, borderline, right? Very, very fringe. Next race, I'm expecting Toto, right? This is your time, Toto. Mm-hmm. That could have worked out very bad for Lewis Hamilton, but for Halo. Well, all of us can agree that. I want to hear something from you, Toto. This is your time to shine.
Yeah.
You could have killed my driver, Max. All I'm hearing from Toto, meanwhile, we will abide by whatever the racing director says. What?
So you're Christian Horner then?
How could you not be, chaps?
I'm with him.
I am as well. I think,
Horner boy.
If someone parks on my head and you're not backing me up, I just can't run. I'm afraid that's outrageous.
We're not looking to go for a beer with the. That's a different argument altogether, right? But to go to the trench, if I'm in the trenches, FCON 5, race 22 of 22. It's, who do I want as my team principal? It's a no-brainer. Yeah. We don't even, this isn't a conversation.
See, for me, it's like, I know that I know that we'll get beasted at work, right? I'll get beasted at work if I'm working in the PE department. I'm gonna get beasted. But if we win, we're going on the lash. We're getting absolutely hammered and it'll be a great time. And then we'll come back the next day a bit hungover and it'll be like, yeah, great job, guys. Let's go again. That's how I feel. Horner's like. Whereas Toto was like, no, we've won the race.
Horner was farting at an Abu Dhabi whilst Lewis was on, in a bad way. Horner's just jumping on the crowd. So he knows how to party still.
Yeah. But the main thing for me is that, Horner gets a lot of flack, but he's always shielding his team and his drivers. He always takes the bullet for them. But Toto, like if he's got something to say about his driver, he'll say it, and I feel like that can be damaging sometimes.
As I said, it's for me as well. It's the physical aspect, I think, is the other thing. Like Toto Wolff is 7'4", and so he's a big don. You know, so if it came down to it, and there's a scrap going on, I would like Toto Wolff. That's the only thing.
Christian Horner's not doing the UFC thing. He's going to find the nearest something that if it was that. No, he doesn't fight fair.
You're getting
true, actually. That's a good point.
He'll just have him at arm's reach. Horner's just there trying to reach him. Just like, wear him out. Bam.
He doesn't fight. He's fringe, and I'd happily have him. I don't really like him, but there's not a conversation, chaps.
Well, there we go, lads. We all want to work for Christian Horner. That is the moral of today's story. I think that's where we're going to wrap things up for today's podcast. I hope you've all enjoyed. If you're listening via Spotify or any other streaming platform, then feel free to give us a really good rating. We would really appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube, I mean, you're not seeing this because this is not a clip, realistically, but like and subscribe anyway. We've just hit 20,000 subscribers and it's sensational. Thank you guys for coming on. Once again, just give us like one like note of where people can find you on YouTube and all that jazz.
Cameron F1 on YouTube, Cameron F1 YT on Twitter. Again, always talking about F1, arguing back and forth, very similar to what we've done today, because I enjoy it. And I am an old, boring, grey-haired F1 fan.
I'm not seeing a single grey hair at all. Oh, you look 25. I'm 25.
I've got a very clever barber near a nice one.
Don't know about
you, accounting chat was good, though. No, Dirk Chocolate on Twitch, TikTok. Why are you laughing?
So I just deep the name, but it's so dark. It's really good, Dirk Chocolate.
But yeah, Dirk Chocolate on Twitch, TikTok, Instagram, not YouTube. That's where you find all my nonsense chattering, gaming and chat about Formula One.
And Hayden, finally, on you, other than TV, these days?
Other than TV, Sky Sports and BT.
Bloody hell, come on.
Just Hayden Gullis on everything, pretty much. Then Gullis came in on YouTube.
Good stuff. Well, thank you very much, chaps, for coming down. Really appreciate it. And thank you all for listening and viewing as well. We'll be back for the live show for the Japanese Grand Prix at Suzuka at 5:30 in the morning for race start at 6. Don't know how I'm going to make it. It's going to be a lot of coffees and Red Bulls being drank for that. And the next pod will be out next week as well on Tuesday. So until then, we'll see you soon. Adios.